Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson at gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Cannabis Kid is missing in action. Tech Guy's here with me today, and it is an exciting day. Where are my sound effects? I don't even have my sound effects ready. It's so exciting, I don't even know what's going on. The United States of America is moving ahead with marijuana, and we are excited. We're going to go through a We're going to go through and read what happened last night as our country legalized cannabis. Yeah. All right. Well, good morning. It's November 5th, and people in Alaska, California even, Oregon, and our nation's capital are hitting their bongs with pride this morning, and not in fear, hopefully. Our country legalized cannabis in a couple states, and actually Maine, Portland, Maine, and I'm blanking on the city right now. I think it's Portland. They just added marijuana legalization to their agenda as well. Actually, they just passed it for their city. So they passed the city ordinance. So welcome. This is awesome. I'm really excited. We were watching the news last night and just sitting on the seat of our pants waiting. Hoping, praying, waking up this morning to Christmas cannabis candy all around this country. We can go ahead and just start reading it. Cannabis Kid, we hope will come soon. If not, it's just me, Bellstar, and Tech Guy, and we are here to give you some wonderful information about cannabis and what our country has done. And if you want to know a little bit more about how we got started at Weed Day Wednesday, visit tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Tucson, Arizona's number one place for cannabis education, information, certifications, radio show, anything else you want. We will find it, figure it out, answer all your questions, and get you certified and get you on your way with cannabis and healing your body in a good, natural, non-toxic way. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You can always call 520-838-4430. And, in fact, if you want to call the radio live, you can call 646-915-8421. Call in and chat with us and talk with us. Blog with us. We love our bloggers out there. We've got bloggers all over the world, Netherlands. Heck, we got people in Minnesota and everywhere blogging in. So check it out. The country is going crazy with weed. Let's read about it right now. Last night, Normal, actually, N-O-R-M-L, posted election results live, actually. And they were posting for each state, for the senators, and different laws as such. So, it says here, Oregon lights up, marijuana legalized. Momentum for the pro-marijuana legalization movement continues. In the Keystone election of 2014, residents of Oregon voted 54.4% with 612,989 votes to a 45.6%, 513,664 votes to pass Measure 91, which legalizes the sale of marijuana for recreational use among adults ages 21 and older. Yay, Oregon! That's a beautiful state. That grass is going to grow wicked green up there. I know it already is. And they are establishing a statewide system of regulation to oversee the now legalized market. Oregon becomes... Oh, we got dogs. Hold on a second. Oregon's become the third state. Apologies for that. Legalized recreational marijuana use, along with Colorado and Washington. Under the new state statute, adults are legally permitted to possess up to 8 dried ounces of marijuana and up to 4 plants in their homes, which is awesome. Okay, so again, in Oregon, adults are legally permitted to possess up to 8 dried ounces of marijuana and up to 4 plants in their home. That's awesome. Measure 91 also tasks the Oregon Liquor Control Commission with regulation of marijuana sales statewide. The law authorizes applications for 1 year, renewable licenses to produce, process, or sell marijuana as of January 4, 2016. License fees are set at $1,000, not including a $250 processing fee. Similar to liquor laws in many states, licenses could be refused if the commission deems there are sufficient licensed premises in the locality, or the license is not demanded by public interest or convenience. Interesting. Stores must have defined boundaries. No mobile businesses are allowed. Under the new measure, an individual can hold a retail production, cultivation, processing for extracts and other products, and wholesale license at the same time. So unlike in Washington, where supply shortages bottleneck sales, Oregon's measure allows a single business to grow, process, and store marijuana if the owner holds separate licenses for these activities. Also, unlike Washington, Oregon statute sets taxes on amounts rather than based on a percentage of sales slash prices. So a practice which will help stabilize revenue projections, since taxes will not fluctuate with pot prices. Oregon's plan has set taxes at $35 per ounce on flowers, $10 per ounce on leaves, and $5 per immature marijuana plant, with rates adjusted each based on cost of living determinations. That's interesting. Like in Washington, Oregon's measure does not prohibit municipalities from banning recreational pot sales within their borders, which would be done by a ballot question that would need approval. Other details of Measure 91 include individuals 21 and older can give up to an ounce of marijuana, as well as larger amounts of marijuana products such as liquid form, as a gift to other adults 21 and older. Okay. Adults could purchase up to an ounce of marijuana, 16 ounces of marijuana products in solid form, 72 ounces of marijuana products in liquid form from properly registered businesses, according to the Marijuana Policy Project. The legalization of recreational marijuana sales in Oregon is a huge boon to the monument of the pro-marijuana legalization movement. With 4 states now legally selling marijuana, Tuesday Alaska joined Colorado and Washington in legalizing recreational marijuana. The path is being forged to allow other states to follow. Voters in Oregon and Alaska have wisely rejected the failed policies of prohibition and now will reap the benefits of legal tax and regulated market for marijuana, said National Cannabis Industry Association Executive Director Aaron Smith in a press release. That means safe products, responsible and transparent business practices, increased tax revenues and job creation, and smarter priorities for law enforcement. Way to go, Oregon! The United States is growing marijuana. Growing like a weed, folks. Growing like a weed. All right. Next up, Alaska legalizes marijuana. That's a good one. Now, I don't know. I want to see the difference. I'd like to see a cannabis cup between Alaska and Oregon, the seriously green state. Alaska has had a torrid love affair with marijuana, decriminalizing in 1975 and then legalizing possession in 1982. Did you hear that, folks? That's why there are just a few folks in there in Alaska. They're saving their marijuana land. Since 1975, it's been decriminalized. And since 1982, it's been legalized. But then attempting to recriminalize in two times since. Okay, it approved the Medical Marijuana Act in 1998. Today, however, it's clear that Alaskans are, by and large, pro-marijuana legalization. State residents voted 52.14%, 116,803 votes, to 47.85%, 107,179 votes to pass Measure 2, legalizing recreational recreational marijuana use and the establishment of a regulated, taxable commercial cannabis business. Alaska and Oregon, which passed its own legalization measure Tuesday, become the third and fourth states to legalize and regulate the sale of marijuana, joining Colorado and Washington. That's awesome. Oh my gosh, this is so super exciting. With the passage of Measure 2, adults age 21 and over can now legally possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana and cultivate up to 6 plants in their home. Sweet. Like in other states that have legalized marijuana possession and sale, however, public consumption remains illegal and is subject to fines. Commercial cannabis production and retail sales are also now legal across the last frontier as this production, sale, and possession of marijuana paraphernalia. To pass Measure 2, legalizing recreational marijuana use and the establishment of a regulated taxable commercial cannabis business, Alaska and Oregon, which passed its own legalization measure Tuesday, became the third and fourth states to legalize and regulate the sale of recreational marijuana, joining Washington and Colorado. Regulations surrounding Alaska's measures are a bit less structured than other states that have traversed the legalization path. However, some clear guidelines have been set. Oversight of the regulated marijuana market will be assigned to Alaska's Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, although the legislature would be able to create a marijuana control board at any time. Like Oregon's Measure 91, Alaska opted to tax based on amount, not on percentage of sale or price, as Washington State does. The measure establishes an excise tax of $50 an ounce. This type of taxation ensures that tax windfalls don't fluctuate with marijuana prices. Measure 2 also stipulates that municipalities would be able to ban sales, though not possession, within the borders, and local government could pass ordinances, quote, governing the time, place, manner, number of marijuana establishment operations, quote, as well as charge their own set of fees. Under the measure, application fees for a retail license have been set at $5,000. Inspection, labeling, and display requirements would be similar to other states where pot is legal. And the measure includes language that says the rights of patients or caregivers under Alaska's medical marijuana law will not be changed. Well, that's very interesting. Someone will want to change that one right away. That's the first thing that will want to change that law, is that you can't change it. All right. This is awesome. Now, this is what dumbfounds me here. But marijuana is legal in our nation's capital. Yeah, see? Exactly. The arrow goes off. Dumbfounding. Completely. But congratulations, Washington, D.C., and Mr. President, you can smoke your weed in peace. It's official. Voters in the District of Columbia have voted 64.62% of the vote, with 96,113 votes against 28.43% of the vote, with 42,280 votes. Does anyone notice something that I notice here? Alaska brought out more people to vote for marijuana than Washington, D.C. did. There's probably, they probably brought everybody out. That was probably the whole state that voted. That was it. Alaska voted. Anyway, They passed ballot initiative 71, which legalized possession of up to 2 ounces of marijuana for personal use among adults 21 and over, as well as the ability to grow up to 6 plants. let me see here. Switching pages, and I'm getting this at CannabisBusinessTimes.com, another one of our favorite places to gather cannabis information, but I like that they're actually giving you the whole measure here instead of just saying, yay, they passed. Okay, so you can have 6 plants. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's it. You can have up to 6 plants. I'm sorry. I lost the rest of that one. So there's a good one, though. And here's Maine. And this is what we're talking about. They're voting city by city, which is really interesting. So Maine votes to legalize the second East Coast city. Okay, and they have, this is cool, they've got little maps and they show you where. Okay, so South Portland, I was right. Voters in South Portland approved a ballot measure 52-48 Tuesday, making it the second city in the East Coast to make marijuana legal for adults. A similar measure received 45% of the vote in Lewiston. The South Portland initiative makes possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana legal, and that's for adults 21 and older. It will remain illegal for adults to consume or display marijuana in public. However, voters in Portland, the state's largest city, approved a similar measure in 2013. I remember that. Awesome state. Oh, my gosh, Maine, if you ever go, you will never want to leave. It's really like a storybook. Yeah, we've got some nodding heads over here because it's like you look around and you think you're in a postcard. It also expresses support for ending marijuana prohibition at the state level and replacing it with a system in which marijuana is regulated and taxed similarly to alcohol. The Marijuana Policy Project, which backed all 3 local initiatives in Maine, has filed a committee to support a statewide ballot initiative in 2016. Statement from David Boyer, Maine Political Director for the Marijuana Policy Project, MPP, which supported the Lewiston and South Portland initiative, says, "We applaud the voters of South Portland for approving a more sensible approach to marijuana. They saw through the scare tactics and misinformation that have long kept marijuana illegal in this country. They chose facts over fear. Throughout our campaign, we argue that marijuana is safer than alcohol and that it's irrational to punish adults for choosing the less harmful substance. South Portland voters agreed. We hope local law enforcement will respect their decision and stop citing adults for simple marijuana possession. Police have vast discretion when it comes to whom they ticket and for what offense, and there is no legal reason why they cannot follow the will of the voters. It's time to stop steering adults towards drinking by threatening to punish them if they make the safer choice to use marijuana. Amen. This is the first time voters in Lewiston have considered a measure making marijuana legal, so we are encouraged by the strong support it received in a midterm election. It bodes well for the statewide initiative we plan to run during the 2016 presidential election to regulate marijuana like alcohol. We are particularly pleased with the substantial and much-needed public dialogue these initiatives inspired throughout the state. Our campaign countered decades of anti-marijuana propaganda and misinformation by highlighting the simple fact that marijuana is far safer than alcohol. Even our president said so himself. We made voters question the rationale behind laws that punish adults for choosing to use the less harmful substance. We look forward to continuing that dialogue leading up to 2016. Marijuana Policy Project, MPP, is the nation's largest marijuana policy organization, has been responsible for changing most state-level marijuana laws since 2015, and check them out at marijuanapolicy.org. Wow, that's awesome that they're going city by city now until their state votes. And passes it. So good for you guys. That's, yeah, and I hope law enforcement really respects that because that's tough, you know. I mean, if your whole state doesn't say yes, then, you know, people are apt to go, well, but, and you can't do that. You got to just go with what your city ordinances say. So, okay, I guess we have to talk about it, right? I guess so. Florida loses, but their vote for expanded medical marijuana program, that's okay. That's all right. A few months ago, Florida's push for a medical marijuana program amendment 2 looked like a sure thing. Tuesday, however, All of the hurdles to the passage of Amendment 2 took their toll as residents of Florida voted 57.58% with 3,357,537 votes. Holy cow. To 42.42% with 2,473,608 votes. Wow. Against the amendment, stopping the new medical marijuana program in its tracks. That's a lot of votes. That does suck. Sorry, Mom. I know you don't like that word. But seriously, the vote fell just shy of 2.42%. Just shy of 60%. But you know what? You know what? Exactly. We applaud everybody for getting out there. Over 2 million people came out to say, hey, let's do this, you know. And the 3 million that came out to say, let's not, you guys need to do a little more research. That's all I have to say to you guys. It's all right. You guys just need some research. All right. So, what were the hurdles? First off, big money. Big money poured into the no campaign. Okay. So here we go. Almost entirely funded by Sheldon Adelson, casino magnate, chairman and CEO of Las Vegas Sands, which we won't go to anymore. Adelson is responsible for 85% of the $5.8 million raised by Drug Free Florida, the organization leading the charge against the measure, reported the Washington Post. And Mr. Adelson, Sheldon, we invite you on Weed Day Wednesday. Why don't you get your little hiney on the show here and we'll have a conversation. Won't we? Isn't that special? Might just bring in the trick lady. With overwhelming support for medical marijuana in the state, at one point reported at 90%, it seemed most people did not expect such financial support for the opposition, especially from a non-resident. Oh, come on. What's with that? I want to know that. Do we have any bloggers out there? I'm so sorry. I'm so wrapped up in reading. Is anyone out there? Yeah, because, okay. Ugh. What's with someone coming from another state and saying to another state, I don't even live there, but you can't have it? What a control freak. What a freaking control freak. That's just wrong. People United for Medical Marijuana, a.k.a. United for Care, which supported Amendment 2, actually raised more money than their opponents, $7.8 million. Much of which was contributed by the Morgan Law Firm. Attorney John Morgan of the firm is noted as one of the campaign's biggest supporters, contributing $250,000 to the Yes Initiative on two. Interesting. Interestingly, Morgan also is gubernatorial candidate. Charlie Crist boss, and Crist also supports medical marijuana. Let's see here. Okay, we've got a blogger that says, because of stupid constitutional amendments that require ballot initiatives to give a 60% supermajority to pass. Fun fact, it's only existed since 2006 and passed by 57%. It didn't even pass by the percentage it was required to pass future. Oh, you bring them on. We call BS. Oh, my gosh, that's just awful. Wow. All right, we're just going to continue reading here. Still, some in Florida believe that the money pouring into the No on 2 campaign, the heavy advertising push, fear tactics, and false information were just too much to overcome, and questioned whether or not the pro-MMJ campaign did enough to fight back. For example, a practicing lawyer in Florida committed in a pre-election poll by Cannabis Business Times, quote, I have contributed time and money to United for Care. Unfortunately, the money spent by No One 2 has been used on negative campaigning and has been effective to tap into fear-mongering and take momentum away from the movement to legalize medical cannabis. I feel like the pro-legalization movement has been too busy counting its money from seminars and failed to counter effectively the ads of the No One 2 folks. While those voting yes are targeted daily with emails and phone calls, nothing's being done that I can tell to sway the undecided voters. Interestingly, though, you can put up all the anti-marijuana ads and billboards and posters and bus signs and A-frames and flags that you want, but when you try and put up a pro-marijuana sign out there, your landlords are all over, usually, where you can put them. How you can put them? Can they actually say marijuana? Should it say cannabis? You know, is it in the storefront? you know, what's going on. So I have that to say about advertising and fighting back, because emails and phone calls are mostly the way that we've been able to communicate in this whole cannabis initiative. Where are the commercials about this on your national, where are they? I know, they are coming soon. But seriously, where are they? They're not there yet. Let us put some commercials on air. You know, we're fighting against advertising companies that won't let us advertise. So why don't you let us go full-blown advertising, and then you see where we put our money. You want advertising? You get some advertising. The Abrosin Burrito? I'm proposing Burrito. All right. Others cited a failed bipartisan effort as the campaign's downfall. That plus the fact that the program was trying to be pushed through as a constitutional amendment, requiring 60% of the vote, which those behind Amendment 2 did so that the legislature could not easily overturn the law. Okay. But it's not a complete failure for Florida, despite the letdown of the vote, especially to those patients in Florida awaiting a more extensive medical marijuana referendum, and industry advocates who were hoping to count Florida as the first southern state to legalize a full medical marijuana program. Florida has made some headway on the medical marijuana front. Another reason why some believe anti-marijuana proponents gain support using the "we already have a medical marijuana program" argument. In June, Governor Rick Scott, who has been fighting his own 2014 election battle against Democrat Charlie Crist, had signed into law Senate Bill 1030, a.k.a. Charlotte's Web. And that legalized the use of a non-euphoric strain of cannabis with almost non-existent levels of THC, the high-inducing compound, to treat conditions including epilepsy, Lou Gehrig's disease, and cancer. Under Charlotte's Web, named after Charlotte Fege, the now famous child who suffers epileptic seizures from Dravet syndrome and found relief using marijuana, under the Charlotte's Web, qualifying patients could access vapor and oils, but not smokable or other forms of marijuana. Growers face stringent regulations, too, with only existing Florida-based nurseries who had been in continuous operation for over 30 years would be permitted to grow that particular Charlotte's Web strain. I'm having a hard time just even finishing reading this. Let's see what the bloggers have to say. Yeah, they can't even, If Amendment 2 had passed, it would have allowed doctors to prescribe various forms of marijuana for a wider range of medical conditions, specifically debilitating diseases, people, as determined by a licensed Florida physician. Ugh. The amendment also called for the Department of Health to register and regulate centers that produce and distribute marijuana for medical purposes and shall use identification cards, and shall issue identification cards to patients and caregivers. As the country moves forward with other marijuana initiatives, recreational and medicinal, Florida's future is not sealed. John Morgan, for one, has said he will probably give the effort another try. In many states, medical marijuana programs have not passed the first time around. Even in Florida, where efforts fell just short of the 60% support needed, we saw a strong majority vote to allow patients to have access to medical marijuana, said National Cannabis Industry Association. Oh, and that's awesome. You know what else is awesome?
My house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking, about to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks, Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up, but can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real, ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's, and then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, oh, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plants illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealthy? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Woo! Welcome back, Walter, to Weed Day Wednesday. Oh my goodness, we just finished a half an hour recap of what happened last night in our nation's capital. We had some good news, lots of good news, and lots of hopeful news. We'll say we don't have bad news. We have hopeful news. So we are back, and we've been blogging with some folks out there. If you want to blog with us, actually, you can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and just click on the radio link and click on any picture that comes up. It'll take you to the show. You can sign in, log in. It takes 2 seconds and blog with us. Or go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Weed Day Wednesday. Or just type in cannabis. Will probably come up. If you want to come down to Tumbleweed Health Center, you can get certified and support this movement. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. We are Suite 103. We're in the back. We are open now Monday through Saturday, 10 to 3. We have some fantastic doctors. We just got a really, really, really amazing review online. And they talked about our fabulous doctors. Yes, we've got pets here today. So that's Walter just shaking it off, man. Shake it off. All right. He's excited about the morning. So let's take a caller. Let's see who we have on air today. And hopefully we're going to chat about some cannabis. Oh, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Oh, thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
All
right.
How
do you feel about last night's election?
Well, that's the reason I was calling, sweetheart. This is Lieutenant Triple J. And
right,
I just wanted to...
Nice voice.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and thank all of my friends for the opportunity that you've given me. And... kind of update you on myself a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well,
are you okay
sure.
with that? Yeah.
Sunday,
yeah,
we'd like to hear about what you thought about last night's elections across our states. This is amazing. Quite an election.
You know, sweetheart, I had a hard time with elections this year, only because of all the mixed messages I've received from all the candidates. In my current state of mind at that time, my life has been in turmoil pretty much this entire year, and I've been dealing with it the best way that I can. And I've had to reach out to my friends and family everywhere to try to make sense of all of this. I have many, many wonderful stories to share with you with simple acts of kindness that have affected me here in Tucson. And I'm starting to calm down. I'm starting to become more focused. And the first opportunity you gave me was to come on the air and support your cause, which I was honored and proud to do, because I do believe in your cause. And I just wanted to kind of update your listeners on who I am and what I stand for. And I'm going to need the strength of all my friends to get myself through this, and family, until I get myself better. And I don't know what I did.
Lieutenant Triple J, are they supporters of your cannabis use?
Well, my cannabis use comes into play because I was treated earlier in life with Vicodin and morphine for pain. I am now off of those drugs, and I'm being treated with medical marijuana for chronic pain. And I choose to do that. I'll be turning 61 years old on the 13th of this month. And, you know, I've listened to everybody's opinions my entire life. And whether I agreed with them or not, I went along with their decision. But sometimes their decision was wrong. And specifically in my case, my own personal story, and I will only tell my story. I won't tell no others. But as time goes on and I continue to support your cause because I believe in it, there are other causes I want
very
to
much.
Support. Hey, you are a godsend. You and the kid and everybody at Tumbleweeds. I was honored to purchase that. Yeah, I made that decision to go see them because I had initially been certified 1 year ago at another location. And this one's much closer to my home. It's more convenient, and the people are wonderful. So anybody in Tucson and anybody around America or the world that knows me or has ever known me as Sergeant Smith in my Air Force days, or Officer Smith in my probation department days, or a contract security officer on Davis-Monthan that was sometimes referred to as a rent-a-cop. Now, I personally took a little offense to that because I had served my country in the very same job as the first person that you will meet when you come on the base, and that's the gate guards. That was my life for 20 years. I mean, I know a little bit about it, but sometimes people didn't understand me for who I was and realized that I had done that job previously for 20 years, but because I was wearing a different uniform, they looked at me differently. And, you know, I was disrespected several times, and it kind of upset me a little bit. So, but I handled things properly, as I try to do. And, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it don't. And the whole thing factors in respect. You know, it really does, sweetheart. And, if you give me dignity and respect, I'll give you some back. If you take it from me, don't take my dignity.
No. Nope.
That's about the only thing I have left right now. But I'm okay. I have retirement income. I have family, and I have a dream. And I recently got myself confused because I began supporting two separate causes at the same time. And it was a little too much for me. It was like my first day on a new job. I don't know. but I felt a cause or something to believe in, and that's kind of where I went. And I made a bad mistake of going to a dark place, which was the past. I should have went there. What's that?
Lieutenant Triple J, we appreciate it. We really want to get back. I don't mean to interrupt, but we got to get back to some of these great stories we got going on in our country now. We'll
sweetheart. I'm around. You have my information.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. We wanted to know your thoughts on the country's votes. But we'll have to chat another time about everything else going on. We appreciate you.
Okay.
Take care.
I love you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. You too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I found some very interesting news online during our little break here, and I don't know. This is going counties now. We did city to city. Check this out. Two New Mexico counties voted to decriminalize marijuana. Tuesday, Bernalillo County and Santa Fe County, New Mexico residents were asked to vote on decriminalizing 1 ounce or less of marijuana. Both non-binding ballot questions passed. Woo! For Santa Fe County, it was 73.10%. 33,000 voters came out. Yep. And against it was only 26.9%. 12,000 voters came out. In Bernalillo County, 59.51% said yes. 91,000 voters. And against it were 40%, 62,000. It says the results, however, will be advisory and send a message to legislature where the next step forward marijuana policy reform will take place. So, yeah, this is all great next steps for these states when they start seeing that counties, cities, they want to start legalizing, decriminalizing. You know, that's what D.C. did before. They were decriminalized. You could have an ounce, and it was fine up until they legalized. So, and this, again, I got at CannabisBusinessTimes.com. This is a great little website here. But I like to go to HighTimes.com because we all know them. And we appreciate they've been around since 70 or 74? 74? I think it's 74. I'm going to go 74. All right. If someone corrects me wrong, come into Tumbleweed Health Center if you're a patient. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, and I'll roll you a fatty. Maybe not right there on the – well, yeah, right there on the spot. We'll do it right there. We'll have a little fatty lesson. I don't roll fat. I can roll. Okay, well, we'll have a machine do it, but it'll be a fatty. All right. Come on down. Prove me wrong. 1974. I think I remember because 7 and 4 are my lucky numbers. So I think I'm going with that. Okay, does anybody want to know what happened to what happened at the federal hearing challenging marijuana prohibition? This is a good one. The stability of marijuana prohibition now rests in the hands of a federal judge who listened to testimony last week during a 5-day evidentiary hearing aimed at determining if the Schedule I dangerous drug, if the classification slapped on the cannabis plant by the Drug Enforcement Administration in 1970 upholds the U.S. Constitution or blatantly hijacks the freedom of American citizens. I think we should look up, maybe you can look up if you can, what the schedulization of drugs actually means. There are 5 schedulizations of drugs, and according to the Drug Enforcement Administration, cocaine is better for you than marijuana, as is heroin, I believe. Yeah. Throughout the proceedings, United States District Judge Kimberly Mueller, sorry, I couldn't help it. Was challenged to act awesome as a high court referee in a bare-knuckle brawl between the defense, who argued that science proves marijuana does not belong in the same category as heroin, and its opposing forces who maintain that weed has a high potential for abuse and therefore should remain listed as a Schedule I controlled substance. Okay, and here's the definition. Schedule 1 says, substance or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Schedule 1 drugs are the most dangerous drugs of all. and they are potentially severe. They have potentially severe psychological or physical dependence. Some examples of Schedule I drugs are, I know, we're all kind of giggling with this. Well, heroin, LSD, lysergic acid diethylamide. Say that one 7 times. Marijuana, cannabis. 3, 4, methyl enyldioxin methamphetamine, ecstasy, methaqualone, and peyote. Uh-oh. Couple natural drugs in there. Now, peyote, I don't know. I've not done that one. There's a lot on this list I've not done. I don't think I've done. I've done marijuana. But the 3, 4 methyl, Schedule II drugs say substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with a high potential for abuse, less abuse potential than Schedule I. With use potentially leading to severe psychological or physical dependence. And they're also considered dangerous. Here's some examples. So these drugs, according to our government, are better for you than marijuana. Cocaine, methamphetamine, methadone, Dilaudid, hydromorphone, Demerol, mefredine, Oxycontin, oxycodone, fentanyl, dexedrine, Adderall, and don't forget Ritalin, kids. Don't forget your Ritalin. Schedule 3 says these substances or chemicals are drugs with a moderate to low potential for physical and psychological dependence. Schedule 3 drugs abuse potential is less than Schedule 1 and 2, but more than 4. So where you go, government. That's something my brother would say. Less than 1 and 2, but more than 4. What would that be? 3. Some examples of Schedule 3 are combination products with less than 15 milligrams. So if you combine less than 15 milligrams of hydrocodone per dosage, Vicodin, products containing less than 90 milligrams of codeine, Tylenol, codeine, ketamine, anabolic steroids, and testosterone. There you have it. Testosterone. Dangerous. Schedule 3. Okay. Schedule 4. Here we go. Schedule 4 substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with a low potential for abuse or low risk of dependence. Some examples are Xanax, Soma, Darvon, Darvocet, Valium, Ativan, Tolvin. Get a tall one, or Ambien. There you go. Schedule 4. Less. Yeah, never mind. We won't do that. Schedule 5. This is it. The final D. Where's our doomed? Schedule 5 substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with lower potential for abuse than Schedule 4. 3, 2, 1. And consists of preparations containing limited quantities of certain narcotics. Schedule 5 drugs are generally used for anti-diarrheal, anti-tussive, analgesic purposes. Some examples of Schedule 5 drugs are cough preparations with less than 200 milligrams of codeine or per 100 milliliters, Robitussin AC, Olomatil, Motifin, Lyrica, and Perspectilin. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure any one of these are not very good for your liver, your kidneys, your stomach, let alone your mindsets and various other things. So there you have it. Marijuana, cannabis, is a Schedule 1 drug, and our government is going to hopefully reschedule that. So let's finish reading what the High Times article says about the reschedulization here. I gotta find it. Hey! Oh, go ahead. Thank you. Okay, so there's schedulization. When was that done? Did it say when that map was made of 1 through 5 schedules? Because I think they need to relook at all the drugs on in every schedule. Anywhere is it like one that was created? And you're right, it's cold in here. We should find that out. Throughout the proceedings, okay, the defense seemed fully prepared to unleash a heap of carnage against prohibitionists by introducing a respected legion of medical experts and researchers intent on selling Judge Mueller on the truth as opposed to over four decades of vile propaganda. Several of the witnesses introduced by the defense, including Dr. Greg Carter, medical director of St. Luke's Rehabilitation Institute, testify that they did not consider themselves activists for the movement to legalize marijuana, but rather believers in the scientific evidence. Quote, marijuana is safe under supervision of a doctor. If I've advocated for anything, it's exactly that, quote, said Carter during the first day of testimony. Fighting on behalf of the federal government was Dr. Bertha Madras, professor of psychobiology at Harvard Medical School, and one-time crony for the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy during the George W. Bush administration. Uncle Sam's team, however, appeared unprepared to strategically battle it out with the defense. At one point, Dr. Madras admitted to failing to locate important research crucial to the case. But there are thousands of studies of marijuana, she said. It's very difficult to study all of them. By the third day, there were times when both federal prosecutors and the defense agreed that cannabis did have medicinal benefits, which inserted Uncle Sam's hypocritical foot in the naysaying mouth by substantially discounting the claim that marijuana should remain a Schedule I substance with, quote, no currently accepted medical use. Unfortunately, Judge Mueller is not expected to deliver her verdict until after the beginning of the year. and High Times says, Mike Adams writes for you stoners and smut enthusiasts in High Times, Playboy, The Smoking Jacket, and Hustler Magazine. There you go. And that's from High Times Magazine. So that's what's happening with our schedulization. Well, at least it went to trial, and at least they did bring in some medical advisors, and hopefully they did have some evidence to back up the science that they were providing, because there is a lot of science out there. And if you want to just, well, you should know, if you don't know already, our federal government has been growing cannabis for 40-something years now? And they have two patents on cannabis, which you can actually find and check out online yourself. But they know the benefits, and they patent cannabis because of the medicinal benefits it has. It's a neuroprotectant, anti-inflammatory, helps with nausea, helps with Crohn's, helps with arthritis. It's really amazing what this plant does. I myself have seen some real miracles. Come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center if you have had any challenge with any one of those things, even if you're not a patient and you just want to try out some hemp oil. We've got some amazing hemp oil, Vital V product. Less than 0.1% THC, so non-psychoactive. Those states that have those rules where they can't have any psychoactive components, they should check out Vital V. They could call Tumbleweeds Health Center at 520-838-4430. In fact, you can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and check out a list of the products that we do have. And you can check out the radio show, over 100 episodes. Woo-hoo! And I wanted to find out from our tech guy here, I was checking out our local organization, AZ for Normal. It says their next meeting was October 11th. Do I have the wrong website up? Is there another meeting coming up, second Saturday, which is the 8th? Okay. So November 8th, if you want to get involved, please do so. Go down to the Ward 6 Council office at 3 o'clock to 4:20, and you could be a part of Normal's, AZ for Normal here in Tucson, their meeting. And they are always looking for people to come down and help support and sponsor this medical marijuana movement. And you can go down and do that yourself at 3202 East 1st Street, Tucson, Arizona, and that's November 8th, second Saturday of the month. Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. Certifications, actually, right now. There are a couple ads out there with some killer deals for just, well, find the ad and you'll know. Normally, certifications are $85, still the lowest price in town. Recertifications are just $65. We're at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. Yes, we've moved a couple times, but well worth the trip across the parking lot to find us. We've got Vaporizer, which are all the rage right now. We've got the high CBD hemp tinctures, which people love because, like I said, you don't have to be a patient to use those. You can get tinctures. They come in four fun flavors. You can get lotions and a balm. And that's what I've seen some great, great results with. There are these hemp products. Don't have to be certified. They're non-psychoactive, mostly CBD. Come down and check them out. Got a little airplane going on overhead here in Tucson. Also, you can check out all our radio show, all of our past shows at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Go on the radio link and just click anywhere on one of the pictures. It'll take you to Blog Talk Radio. But if you like iTunes, just go to iTunes and type in Weed Day. Yes, it's spelled wrong. Weed Day Wednesday. Just type it in. And you should have all 100-plus episodes there. Like I said, there are two specials out there right now if you want to get certified. Great deals at Tumbleweeds Health Center. We've got bongs. Yes, we can say it. We've got bongs, and don't be afraid to come in. It's a beautiful place. We've got all the accessories you need. We've got accessories for your concentrates. We know those little things stick in your plastic containers when you get them at the dispensary, so come down to Tumbleweeds, get some inexpensive concentrate containers by Oil Slick. They're cool colors, great design, small, sleek. They fit in your pocket or in your pouch, in your little stealth bag, your pouch that won't let the smells out. Come down and get one of those and just ask your dispensary to put it right in your little bucket there. That way it won't stick to anything. I think that's a good idea. We've got pipes, beautiful handmade pipes, all the way from Buffalo, rather. Well, Grand Island, Buffalo, Allentown. No, I won't sing it. And they're gorgeous. Some of them even glow in the dark. Some of them change colors. Some have smiley face. And some have festival fall pumpkins on them. Yes, they're cute. And we have some Tim Burton-style handmade pipes that are just cool. There's two left. And I want one of those, too. There might be one left after today because I really want one. I'm trying really hard to contain myself, not to buy everything in there because it's really fun. If you want to get educated, if you want to learn about our federal government's medical marijuana program and their very own patients, yes, they have them, come on down and get Irvin Rosenfeld's book, My Medicine, and you can read all about how he and fellow patients petitioned our very own federal government to let them use cannabis, and the government said, okay, we will. Go for it. And now they've been growing it for them at the University of Mississippi. They have two patents on cannabis themselves, and they have two patients left. There were several more that have passed away. We're sorry. But they did get to use cannabis to help ease their pain and have some quality of life, which is what we are here to help people do, is to get access to this beautiful non-toxic plant that gives you a wonderful quality of life. Well, we here at Tumbleweeds Health Center and Weed Day Wednesday are just so proud of our country and everything that they did to legalize yet in a couple more states. And we here at Weed Day Wednesday would like to say thank you so much for tuning in each and every week, for supporting your local cannabis connection. We have got news, information, everything you want to know. We'll make it up if we don't know it. Come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center and support your local community cannabis health and education center. Get certified. If you don't want to get certified, get educated. If you don't want that, come down and get some papers. Buy a bong. Just come say hello. Get a hug. We'd love to see you. We are located at 6315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You can call 520-838-4430. Next time you want to blog into the show, go to TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. You can call 646 9 for what? Oh my gosh, I just messed up the phone number. Well, just call it 646-915-8421. Let me repeat that, 646-915-8421. I had a blog. I had a blooper blog. All right, remember, be smart, be safe, and educate.